We are back. I am back. And took a little hiatus there. And when people take hiatuses or sabbaticals, that's academia speak for sitting on my ass and escaping a job that wasn't a real one anyway. Which is fitting for the old captain here, because this is not a real job anyway. Despite the hours of love and labor that is put into it, invested into it, as if it were my only child, because frankly it is. It is the Clary Podcast, back here with you. I want to thank, I had a lot of people helping out. Matt Baldoni wrote a piece, Lavi wrote pieces, DT and the Man, quote, allowed me to link to them over at theblackbrigade.org. And then special thanks to Chris Beckloff, who was kind enough to pinch hit podcasts for me, because I did want to put a regular one out there that would go on the old SoundCloud. And also the iTunes and all. You have to do the iTunes and the... It's just... And I'm starting to get... Everyone's getting this. The Windows 10 forcing itself down your throat. And I got a... What window? I have 7. I don't even have... No, wait. Do I have 8? No, I have 8. I have the 8.1. The operating system that was immediately rushed to market after Microsoft decided... You know, Steve Ballmer said he's going to tell us what we're going to like. And then he forgot that, oh yeah, you don't tell the customers what they like. And then people started to download some shells to get that start button on the bottom left, because that's only how they've been programmed for the past 30 fucking years. Oh, now we're going to do tablets. And tough stuff. We got to keep up with the kids. And then that went away. So where was I going with this? Come on, Claire, you could do this. It was Windows 10. Windows 10 was forcing itself on me. Fuck, I don't know where I was going. Anyway, so Chris came in and he substituted for me, so I appreciate that very much there, Chris Beckloff. Thank you very much. And so we're back after the where was I going with the hiatus? Don't worry, it's coming back now. It's coming back. Fuck. Yeah, it's not coming. All right, I've been gone. Obviously not twiddling thumbs or looking at porn or picking my nose. We banged out that new book. Came out, Curse of the High IQ. It should have been done 2 weeks beforehand, but I was really sick I've been sick for the past 2 months, almost since Thanksgiving. Yeah, since Thanksgiving, I've been sick. And first time I went in, doc says, nah, it ain't strep. And I thought, okay, it'll go away. And I got a little bit better. And then good enough to start working out regularly and all this other stuff and ride motorcycles, but just couldn't get rid of keeping me up at night. Finally, for the third time, 3 out of 3 now on my trips to Florida, I've gone to the MinuteClinic. Same MinuteClinic. If you have to go to a MinuteClinic in St. Petersburg, Florida, go to the CVS one over on Martin Luther King, 86 or 84th. It's by the Target, because they'll give you drugs. The one in the WBL, they won't give you drugs. Oh, you're fine. Don't ask. So they gave me a prednisone thing and said to get some nasal spray. And it's worked wonders. Don't know why I waited that long. Could have had a good 3 months of not pain and agony, better sleep. Had a really good night's rest last night, first one in a long time. And despite all the handicaps and the lethargy and the sickness, ended up banging out that book in about a month. And so it's out. It's on paperback. Yes, yes. You pain in the ass Kindle Nazis. It will come out in Kindle. It's like giving birth. And then the husband's like, so, do you want to fuck? Yeah, I mean, it's like, really, it's like that. I mean, you're not even out of the hospital. Could you let the wife rest a bit, maybe? Could we cut the umbilical cord at least? Can you just let the old captain? Guys, it's a wonderful feeling. I was in such a good mood, though. There's no better feeling than finishing that book. Because it's not just writing it and finishing it. You got to edit it and all that, so the editing process. And then there's tailoring it, looking for, but then putting together the files you have to upload to Amazon. And so you think after all this, you keep moving the goalpost is what ends up happening. So you think you're close to, and then you finish that last sentence, and you're like, I'm done. It's like, oh, wait, now I got to create the cover. And that takes an hour and a half, if you're good. I had to move all those little men, if you've seen the cover, it's all these little men that make a Bell distribution chart, like hundreds of little men. And I eyeballed it. You could kind of see some errors on there. I don't really care. Only the anal retentive people, the same ones who are going to point out typos, your versus your, there versus there. You know, people will never amount to anything and write anything good. And since they're talentless, worthless hacks, all they can do is criticize. about minor petty things like that. So the same ones are going to complain about typos that don't matter. Other ones are going to complain that the little men making up the bell distribution curve aren't perfectly aligned. The same ones that are feminists, they'll say, why are they all men? Why aren't they women? To that, I say, why, if I put a dress on there, would you think they're women? That's pretty sexist and pretty presumptuous to think that some of those aren't women. What about the transgenders? How do you know? Can you pull down the little silhouette of the black man's pants there? See if he's got a dingle-dong or a waggle-waggle? I don't think you can. So then you got to put that together. You got to put a cover. Then the description. Then you got to upload it. And then you cannot. Here's the thing. Is like, you think, okay, you wrote the book. It went through editing. It's ready to go. You got to be doubly careful when you make your cover, because you're not paying attention then. And like, if you misspell a word on the cover, that's like a pretty big torpedo right there. So you got to be really, and it's not text, it's an image. So it's not like you could go back and edit the text, or you got Microsoft spell check automated and working in the back there for you. So you got to be really precise. You know, you got to read through it several times. I almost feel like you got dyslexia. Like, am I reading the word curse wrong? Okay, that's right. And then I had to put the description on the back. Yes. Yes, that is my little niece. Already, you doubters, you doubting Thomases. Are you using a little kid to advance? You damn right I'm using a little kid to advance my own. You damn right. We put hot chicks with big tits on beer ads and cigarette ads. I'm going to put a cute little kid on the back. And, oh, yeah, maybe he isn't a jerk. Maybe he's got a soul after all. Maybe he's a nice man. Maybe I'd like to have children with him. I'll buy his book. And then that's where the bait and switch comes in. See, then it's just same old vitriolic, hate-filled thing. It was a dark book, I won't lie to you. There's like, especially in the later chapters, it gets a little dark. When you realize just how futile a lot of these problems people with high IQs have, just because there's no solution. It's just numbers. There's no stopping. You can't make the population smarter. You know, I was kind of getting a little bit down and depressed and all that. But I can only imagine like a couple people. I know one guy, now it depends on what IQ test you take. He scored at 186. I know a couple other people who are way the hell out there. Not a lot, but a couple. And man, I know for a fact they have huge mental problems. And I wish I could have delved into that a little bit more, but I wanted to keep it for the majority of super brilliant, smart people. A friend of mine says, notice how like you're not doing really good at marketing? I said, what are you talking about? He says, like, you're writing books for purpose minorities. You're not going after a big market. You're going after, like, I thought black people, or not black people, black men looking to get out of the ghetto and read a book and entertaining non-leftist values. I thought that was a pretty small niche. No, you're going to go for people with IQs of, like, 120 and above. You're going to go for geniuses. And what are you going to do next? Transgender people, book on transgender? Maybe, if they're loyal enough. See, because back in the olden days, I remember, this is the .com, and everyone's launching an IPO. We're doing an IPO. We're doing it. And they'd always come in, well, if we could capture just 1% of this market, then we can make $1 trillion. And one of the few consultants I ever paid attention to and actually listened, he says, okay, so if you could capture just 1%, why are you just capturing 1%? Why aren't you trying to capture 100%? And it kind of made the point that, like, this is bullshit. You know, you're not even going to catch 1%. You know, you're just trying to, it's a product that ain't going to sell. No one in that market's going to want it because there's something already better out there. So why are you telling me? You should be saying, we are going to compel 75% of the market to buy this product because it's compelling to. It's that superior. They wouldn't be able to be without it. Books, though, I imagine are a little bit different. You can't just write for bland shit. You can write Harlequin romance, you know, thrillers, I guess, for the men, you know, spy things. What's his name? Patriot Games guy, Vince Flynn types. Okay, so that's what guys eat up. Another spy show. Oh, look, here comes a terrorist. They went, oh, my gosh, we're aligning ourselves with our ex-communist enemies. My goodness, is there deceit? Is there trickery? Is there stabbing in the back? Probably. Oh, who saw that coming? That guy was working for the Chinese. Oh, man, who's got the nuclear codes now? Who's the author? Never read one of his books. Vince Flynn. I never read one of Vince Flynn's books. Actually, he's a local guy. I'm only like 2 degrees removed from him. But I just couldn't get into it. Okay, I saw Patriot games. And then what's the one with the boat? Red October. Oh, some dangerous stuff is going on in the military. There's a foreign country with their military. They have spies. We have spies. What's going to happen? Oh, I didn't see that coming. Look, he's trying to defect. No, he isn't. He's a double agent. Ooh, trickery abound. It's the same thing. Me and my old man, we were talking. This is funny. I visited my first time, gosh, I think forever, I actually went to my dad's Christmas. And everyone thinks, like, oh, you don't like your dad. It's like, no, he lives in Appleton, Wisconsin. He's way the hell out there on the other side of the state. And so I go to my other folks who live on the western side of the state of Wisconsin because it's a little much closer. And I won't lie to you, the other, just there was never money. No money, no time. It's like, I have to make money to feed myself. I have to eat. So I went there and we were talking about the Hallmark Channel. And his wife, she watches the Hallmark Channel. And he was talking about how she's like infinitely wise and knowledgeable about the Hallmark Channel. Well, the GF, she watches the Hallmark Channel too. And protestingly so, in your facingly so, shamelessly so, I walk in. Look, that's my, that's mine heroin, mine rot, mine cocaine. It's not good for your brain. And she says, no, I just need my mind candy in it. And it's the same shit. It's the same thing. My dad and I were totally spoofing it. And he says, yeah. I said, you think your wife knows a lot about the Hallmark Channel? My GF, she's an expert on it. He's like, oh, really? I say, yeah, she can name you all the movies, the Hallmark Channel. I said, do you know the one where there's the woman and she has the rich guy who's madly in love with her and wants to own her? But then there's the rugged poor guy who's a masculine dude but a blue-collar guy, and she's torn between them. He's like, yeah, I saw that one. He says, is that the one with the surgeon and the lumberjack? I'm like, that's the one. I say, now, did you see the sequel to it? He's like, no, what's the sequel? I say, oh, this is, the plot completely changes. So there's this girl, and there's these two guys. And one guy's a rich guy, and he's an investment banker. And then there's this blue-collar, kind of rough-and-tumble guy, and he's a mechanic motorcyclist who's good with her child from another broken marriage. He's like, I saw that one, too. And we just kept trying. And you could tell the wife was not appreciating our commentary. But what the hell, ladies? Really? I mean, come on. It's the same shit. Take it different. Okay, here's your three variables for Harlequin romance novels or the Lifetime show or Lifetime Channel movies. You need a girl. Preferably with a kid, because single moms is the new rage. That's been a recent development. In the 70s and 80s, when mothers were relatively still married, well, I can't even say it, 60s. Hallmark Channel wasn't even around in the 60s. Regardless, with or without kids, single mom or not, there's a woman, you see. Kid comes in to provide a little bit of an awe factor and to lie to women to think that ain't a big, huge fucking scarlet letter on her forehead or wherever to put the scarlet letter. I don't know, was it a tattoo? I didn't pay attention. My teachers sucked. So you have three variables. You got the gal. And then there's the variable number one is the rich guy. Now, he can be anything. He's got to be white-collar rich guy. Senator's son, a senator himself. And then there's the blue-collar guy, and he's a little bit more rough. You know, the soldier or the mine worker or the butcher. And her heart's really typically with him. I mean, she's taken originally, emotionally, from the rich upperclassman, you know, the Harvard graduate, the lawyer. But then there's flaws. He's busy. He's got to run his multi-million, billion-dollar empire if you adjust for inflation and the time period. Meanwhile, the blue-collar guy, he's usually there for a little bit more. You know, he may not be rich, but he's got a heart of gold. You know, he plows O'Hare International Airport. You know, some kind of true virtuous guy. Not rich by any means, but a heart of gold. Can't shoot a gun to save his... But he got a heart of gold. He's got a heart of gold. And then usually they kind of make it that guy, the blue-collar guy, bonds very well, provides a father figure for the distraught young boy or girl. Typically a boy. I don't know why there aren't girls in there. Probably a little bit pedophilia-y. You get that kind of stepdad raping your daughter because you're bringing a stranger in. So it's usually a guy. So that's the second variable. So there's the rich guy variable, and there's the blue-collar guy variable. Okay, so what do they do for that? And then the only other variable, the third variable, is what time era is it? Is it Victorian England? Well, then the guy's wearing pantyhose and a top hat with a monocle and he rides horses. And then the blue collar guy, he works on the railroads connecting Berkshire with Lancaster, Britain, in Wales. Connecting places in Britain and Wales and England over there before they were connected with the railroad. That's what, so that'd be Victorian era Hallmark Channel movie. Then now you can there's the old standby World War One. Will you come back? There you go. See, that's a classic one. There you're during war. And her heart is really with the guy who's in the trenches and he's getting shot. And then the upperclassman, he's a general or his dad's a general or something, and he's not on the trenches. And he's whining and dining her back in Paris or wherever the hell they were. And she's taking, oh my goodness, but in her heart, and he's sending her letters, but then the letters are becoming less frequent. And then he catches wind that she had a love before he went off to the war. And so he pulls some strings to send the guy over no man's land. And he gets captured by the Germans, so she thinks he's dead, missing in action, nobody knows. And then he comes back from the war, because he's a prisoner of war, and she's married with the bastard. Say, oh, that's a very sad, but it's very torturing. And now more modern day, that's where you get this, you know. She's a writer in New York, and she's so busy with her hectic schedule. She had a baby with a rat bastard son of a bitch who treats them all like poop. Until Slick McSlippity Slick comes from Goldman Sachs, and he's a slick investment banker, and he runs the Slick Me Slick division. He trades in slick futures and slick options, all slicky, slicky, slick. People say, hey, Slick, and Slick says, hey, guys. The bartender says, Slick, what drink do you want? Slick says, give me a slickity slick, slickity slickity. And then he shows her his helicopter, and they fly to Connecticut, or Martha's Vineyards, where the fuck that is, and then that's where all the rich New York people go, until there's a new man. See, she's got to pick up her kid at daycare, and the son, who has clairvoyance like a dog, picks the better man. The son is always never trusted Slickety Slick, even though he was the youngest vice president of Goldman Sachs, the earliest person to make partner. Very handsome. Didn't trust that gel in Slickety Slick's hair. He bought Slickety Slick hair gel. That's why it was all slick. That's where he originally got his name. It wasn't because of oil. So the kid, he doesn't trust Slickety Slick. He trusts Tanner, who is a poet and plays an acoustic guitar, and he's a struggling artist. It's a secret. He keeps it secret. He doesn't let anyone else. That's his soft spot because he was rejected by the New York publishing houses. He moved out there, you see, when he was 22 with his degree in creative writing. And to make ends meet, he ended up just working at this daycare center where women who hate their children that were getting in the way of their careers dropped them. I mean, where women dropped them off so they could provide for them. And he ended up finding he likes children a lot. And he's working. It's a tormented decision. You know, he's good with the kids. He's good with the guitar. And the kids all love him, and it's a real challenge for him as to whether or not he should write a children's book, but he can't face another rejection from the big New York House publishing division people. And then she finds out about that, and the kid keeps telling her, and she originally thinks she's enamored with Slickety Slick, but then Tanner, you know, he's there. He's the blue-collar guy with the heart of gold. Maybe Plaza O'Hare International Airport and can't shoot a gun on the side. Maybe that's his part-time job. I don't know. So then she asked, and then in the end, the Tanner guy, he does something, the blue collar guy, he does something to really win her heart over, and she realizes money isn't everything, and that's, it's every Hallmark Channel movie ever. And I walk in, there she is, and she's just giving me the bird, not literally, she's just, you know, I'm like, watching your Hallmark Channel, she's like, yeah, I'm like, okay. Because I'm not going to win. I knew this is not even a battle. I was like, yeah, go ahead, watch. Because it's not like she's watching it all the time, reads Harlequin romance novels. But what I want to do is when she comes in, I'll have to wait to know when she's coming in, so I throw it up. We hooked up the computer. We got a computer now that's hooked up to the TV. So we can do YouTube. Because Netflix and Hulu and all that, it's shit. I don't know what happened to the selection. It's shit. And Amazon charges you an arm and a leg for uh, for movies. So I'm like, forget that. So I found out that you can get YouTube on your Roku, or you just hook up to the computer and you go on YouTube and you hit full screen and see you're watching. And YouTube's got everything. We ended up watching all Father Ted, all 26 episodes. Great thing. Anyway, so I should wait till she gets home, but right before she gets home, she should like put on porn. Because it's the same thing. Don't tell me, ladies. Girls don't like porn. I know some of them do. I understand. Some do, but typically it doesn't do the thing for them. But they like that mental porn. Boy, they like those Harlequin romance novels. And just because everybody's got their clothes on most of the time doesn't make it any less porny for women. So I should just sit in there and be like, what's this? This is just my Hallmark channel. This is the guy's Hallmark channel. See, this is the one. And then, see, you could get the exact same critiques. There's three variables. See, there's the innocent guy who gets called in to do some repairs. Now, the variable is, what is his job? What kind of service? Is he a plumber? Is he a milkman? Is he an electrician? And then there's the two hot sisters. And one is blonde, the other's brunette, and maybe what outfits they're wearing. That's it. It's very simple formula. Honest to God, I should go write a Harlequin romance novel. It would not be that hard. Although, of course, it could be like Black Books, if any of you have seen the movie, or not the movie, the show. They try and write a children's book. And if you want something that's really funny, just look up on YouTube, Black Books, Elephant and Balloon, and you'll see it's hilarious. But I could. How hard would it be? Get a bunch of girls? Heck, I know plenty of women that read that Harlequin romance filth, watch the Hallmark Channel. I'll just give a copy. Well, probably not. Don't think I could give it to my stepmom. She could kind of... The Hallmark Channel at least keeps it rated G, you know, or PG at worst. There's no filth or smut. Harlequin romance, that's a little... Yeah, I'd have to... Maybe I wouldn't be... So now on second thought, no, I don't think I'm going to write a Harlequin romance novel. No. I do have an idea, though, that I've been keeping close to my heart. Two literary works. One is the fiction piece that I want to write that's a Western, but there's a spin on it, and I don't want to give it away. But it's a great idea, but... People have told me, it's hard to make the jump from fiction to non, or non-fiction to fiction. So there's that one. And there's another one that would be targeted towards women, which would actually be pretty fun. But like all things in life, I have to kind of do what puts food on the table and gas in the... Oh, by the way! So, finish the book. And like I said, I was in a great mood. Just in a great mood. I really feel this good because you're about to finish it. And I had finished it. Like, I put the cover together. I got the little guys to line up best they could. I did the editing and the spine calculation. And then we shrank it down to 300 dots per inch in resolution. And then I uploaded everything and approved the copy. Took a big risk. Normally, I insist on seeing a physical copy. But I said, look, but you can also approve it digitally because it's all digital. So in theory, it should work because, like, what you see is what you get. And it's a really good digital editor. CreateSpace does a hell of a job. So I'm looking through it, and I'm like, you know what? Let's just do it. This is not like my biggest life's work. Very, very impressed. I'm very happy with it. I hope people like it. But as I said before, it's kind of depressing at the end. But I looked at it digitally. I said, yeah, this looks good. I think this is. Let's take the risk. So I hit the publish button, and my buddy Karen, she got a book before anybody else that I ordered at Express for. I'm like, what the hell? And she's Jewish. So I say, what is this? The Jew special? You got some connection? You got a book before the author did, for God's sakes. So I say, hey, quick look through it and let me know, because I'm only quarter. She's full. I said, look through it. Do you see any problems with the cover, the alignment? Or she says, no, it looks great. I said, no, really look at it. And after a bit, she's like, no, it's great. I'm like, oh. So it was all good. What was I going to say? So I was in a great mood, and I was starting to think about the logistics, because I'm down here avoiding winter. And I've been here in Florida now for about 2 weeks. And I'm in such a good mood. And I'm thinking, like, you know, this is that good of a book. It's got a large marketing appeal. Kind of know what I'm doing. Kind of know my audience. And I was thinking about getting rid of the crotch rocket and getting a cruiser. Because this summer, I wanted to go to South Dakota. I wanted to take some longer motorcycle rides. And not nothing like Alaska or anything like that. But I'm like, it was a deterrent. Even to go down to Wabasha, which is where Grumpy Old Men was, that you follow the Mississippi River down. It's a very pretty valley, cliffy kind of drive. A lot of motorcyclists do it. And so even that, which is no more than a 2.5, two-hour drive. I'm like, I don't want to do it on the crotch rocket. I just don't. And so I figured, well, okay, I'm going to get rid of the crotch rocket. I'm going to get something that the GF can fit on the back as well, comfortable, because if it's bad enough riding or driving the crotch rocket, being a passenger on it is painful. Every girl I've ever had on that bike is like, I mean, seriously, after 10 minutes, it's like having sex. Women don't want any more to do with it. It's like 10 minutes max. Get me the fuck off this thing. I want nothing more to do with you. So, I say, you know what? I'm going to sell that thing. I'm going to subsidize the cost, you know, inevitably I'll sell it, maybe get a couple grand out of it. So I'm going to find a new motorcycle, you know, used, and buy that, some cruiser. So I did some searching, and I found actually some pretty good deals. I don't know if it's the season or what, or all the old people are dying and they're getting rid of their motorcycles, but God bless it, we'll take it. So I found some pretty good deals. Went down to Sarasota, test rode four of them. And I really want a cafe racer. There was a guy when I was talking about this on the interwebs. He's like, you seem like a cafe racer guy. I'm like, yes, I am. But cafe racers, it's just a seat, one seat. You don't even get a fender in the back. And there's no rear seat. I mean, it's just for one guy. But man, especially with my setup and my gear and the way I drive, yeah, it would definitely fit my personality. It's kind of smaller bike, more engine than there is bike, and not a crotch rocket. So in any case, I couldn't get a, I saw one. I was like, ooh. Big Daddy C would look classy on that. If the girls weren't wet before, they will be now, or more so. Anyway, keep diverging. Get it together, Clary. Where were you? Oh, so I found one. Oh, a recliner on wheels. And thankfully, I originally got into motorcycle riding to save gas, like back in 2008, 2009. Maybe before that. It was a while ago. But now gas prices are coming down. We're doing all right with the book sales, you know? Got refinanced on the house. Things are looking up. I can afford a little trip, you know, as long as I couch surf and I eat Subway. Don't get too fancy. So I bought the motorcycle. Got one for $4,800 with taxes. They collect taxes up down here, but then they transfer back up to Minnesota. So everyone's like, oh, wait a minute, because it's in the back of your minds, I know, because everybody else was asking me this. They're like, well, wait, you're down in Florida. You can't drive that thing up to Minneapolis. I'm like, you're right, I can't. But I can drive it to Las Vegas and leave it with Matt Baldoni and my buddy Mara out in Phoenix. And so I've been looking at the weather and all this other stuff, and it's doable. Like, it's gonna be a little cool, but this, unlike the crotch rocket, this has a windshield, and it's actually quite warm riding. I've ridden in much worse, and now it's like, hell yes, I'm gonna do it. I finished the fucking book. I did it in a month. Handicapped, by the way. Handicapped. Banged it out. Very impressed with my work. Have a little bit of faith and confidence in it. Going to get the subsidy when I sell the crotch rocket. I think I'm going to, instead of flying back to Minneapolis, then flying out to Las Vegas, and then renting a car for a month, I got my motorcycle. And now here's the other stunning Jesus. Well, I'm only going to stay there till March. And people are like, well, were you going to drive back in March? There's still snow in Colorado and Minnesota in March. It's going to be horrible. Like, no, I'm going to leave it there till May. And then me and the GF are going to fly out, and then we're going to drive the big western drive back to Minneapolis. We're going to hit Utah. We're going to go Monument Valley. We're going to do Moab. We're going to do Grand Junction. We know Sandy Crawford personally out there, and the man she's married to. We're going to go up to Telluride to visit, what's her name? The girl with the hair who does the skiing and the stuff. Kind of an okay hiker. Not too bad. She climbed a couple of hills. I forget her name. Anyway. And then visited everyone around, you know, just that classic ride across America on the motorcycle with the bitch on the back. And everyone's like, could you just call your girlfriend a bitch? Yes, that's what they're called in motorcycle lingo. The woman on the back is called the bitch. Even, like, I'm riding shotgun. It's like, I'm riding bitch. So you can all go get your panties out of a bundle now. And that's what we're going to do. And it's just great. It's just awesome. I haven't looked forward to this amount of stuff. Life has not been this good ever. It just hasn't. And I owe it all to you, Han Yockers, man. This is great. Because, you know, I'm working, you know, doing shit. Just banging out crap. Well, you guys saw my absence. You know I wasn't around. But... yeah, so it's I can't wait. Going to stop along, say hi to a couple fans, couple peeps, and get some free lodging. Stopping in San Antonio. Probably do a meetup in San Antonio. I know I got a bunch of people in Houston and San Antonio. barely anyone in Mobile. And I think I might stay in Panama City. I'm in no rush to get out west this time. No rush to get out west. Alaska, I had to get there and back in 2 weeks because that's how long the rental was. This one, it's my own bike. But the only thing I really have to do is get out to where the girlfriend's going to deliver the plates that I'm going to have her, because I only got a 30-day dealer plate, temporary plate on mine. This is it. This is all it is. We're just going to take our time. And that's the other thing. Honest to God, I know you guys don't get it. And this is from my friends and loved ones. And people are asking me, when are you going to be here? And I say, I don't know. Because it's the truth. I really don't know. I haven't determined when I'm leaving. It depends on when it's raining. I'm kind of playing it by the seat of my pants. But I mean, I'll kind of get there when I get there. And I keep forgetting people aren't on that time scheduling. I've been off of it for almost 3 years now, maybe four. How long has it been? Three. And so people are like, well, when you come? I say, I really don't know. I try and explain it. But they're like, well, I you know, and they're really down to like, well, if you come in on Friday, I'm like, dude, it could be 3 days from Friday. And if you're coming at 7 p.m., fuck 7 p.m. I don't know if I'm even leaving by that time. And so I have to keep explaining. It's like, I don't know. And they're like, well, I don't know if my roommate's going to be around. Right? That's fine. I'll just call the day before. And if you're around, that's all right. If there's a floor or a couch to sleep on, cool. That's all I need. I'll give you a call the day before. And this whole call the day before, they don't get it. They just don't get it. Oh, moms are the worst. My mom, and I know it's all your mom. It's not just my mom. I'm sure it's everyone. What are you doing September 13th, 1:47 p.m., 2018? And I hate it when people do that, because it's like, I got to look this up. I got to look it up and I got to think about it. And then if you dare commit to that date and that time, you got to worry like, shit, I got some date, some time. I haven't had a planner. I haven't had a daily planner in about 4 or 5 years. And I kind of like it. I like that I'll do it whenever. Let's figure it out at the last moment. Get my friends with children pissed off because, hey, you guys want to go dancing tonight? Well, if you give us more than 30 minutes heads up, it's like, what? If you didn't have children and fuck up your life. Remember the days where we could just go, hey, Bill, what are you doing? Not much. You want to go fill in the blank? Biking? Motorcycle riding? Rock climbing? Looking at fish? Yeah, let's go. And then we go. Hey, Mike, what are you doing? Not much. You want to go? Yeah, let's go. Go where? Don't know. We're just going to go. Now all you people over 30, what are you doing? What time you come in? I don't know. The babysitter get to doing it. Guys, different mindset, okay? Vagabond, true vagabond. Just pulls into town whenever. If it doesn't work with your schedule like that day, that's fine. Old Clary get himself a hotel room. Just, you know, find out, you know, you got time on this day, are you open? Plus, holy shit, Phoenix, that is the most hospitable state. Even with the loss of my lawyer who moved up to Seattle. I have one, two, I'm at the Quarry, three, if I want to sleep with the scorpions and the rattlesnakes. Four, five, I have five places to stay. I don't have to spend more than like 3 or 4 days with any one person, so I won't even get on their ass. I won't annoy them. My host down here, he's such a gracious guy. Just a guy with a heart of gold. The good news is I know he doesn't listen to podcasts, so he won't ever actually hear the compliments. See, so I can say that. That's But yeah, and you can tell he's real anal retentive. Like, oh, there's a dish. Seriously, there was one dish not done. I'm like, you're kidding. Really? A dish? Like, oh, well. So he's giving me free lodging, and I'm not going to throw that away. You got to keep that. And so I play by his rules. It's his place. I say, okay, fine, you know, we'll I'll wash the dish. People with their ease. And I'm right on this one. I'm absolutely right. I don't care what you people say. All this, what is it? Jen Loken sent me an article of this fucking pussy. He lost his wife, and he blames himself, and the reason she divorced him was because he didn't do the dishes. And if that wasn't preposterous or proof positive enough that you weren't the one with the problem, but that person is the one that you should have never married, you should be happy that she did divorce you,
He says it was his fault that, you know, oh, I didn't do the dishes. It's not me that needs, you know, even though I'm right and it doesn't matter in the world and me putting this, it's that it made her happy. Yeah, a psychotic cunt happy, yeah, which is not possible. She would have found something else. Anyway, I don't care. I don't get into fights over the dishes. It's his place. He wants no dishes in the sink. Fine. We won't even have one dish in the sink. All dishes washed all the time on the dishwashing network. 24/7 clean dishes. One guy got more dishes than a man needs. Oh, but so I got lodging all the way from Florida out to Tucson, all the way out to Phoenix, and once I get to Arizona, boom, I'm done. I can stay there a month and not get on anybody's nerves. But still, I appreciate, again, I appreciate I'll play by the rules, but I don't know when I'm getting there. It's a completely different mindset. Here's what you got. Okay, erase everything you learned since you were 5 and go back to 5. So, like, preschool. When you were 4 or 5, those last waning days of true freedom that you actually had, your true childhood, you could go and do whatever you wanted. There was no schedule. Maybe your mom would force you to come in and eat. But imagine being 5 with that amount of freedom, but with money and a motorcycle and pubes. That's basically... That's what it is. Now you get to do it. You got all the rights and privileges of an adult with the responsibility of a 5-year-old. All right? Now with that kind of lifestyle, do you think the 5-year-old kid knows at what time he's going to pull into what town on what day? I'm not bragging. I'm not berating or belittling those of you that have real jobs and have a real schedule. I understand that, but it's to make you understand that I can't give you an answer where I'm going to be at what time. I can give it to you the best I got it down because we're getting closer to launch time. I think I'll be able to leave tomorrow. Might be a little chilly in the morning, but that's why we're going to go get some thermal gear. I got it down that I'm going to leave. I'm going to try and get out of St. Pedro'sburg around 9, maybe 10 a.m. 9's going to be cool. It's still going to be like upper 40. That's going to be chilly. The deciding factor is going to be traffic. And in this particular instance, I actually want there to be traffic because that way you're not driving that fast. You're still going. You'll make it. But the wind will kind of... So you're making it. You're not losing time. You're not losing daylight. But you're not going so fast that you're freezing. So then head out, get up to the Highway 10, and just take that sucker all the way to the Pacific, pretty much. I think, yeah, that goes to San Diego. All the way to San Diego. Visit Leslie. Leslie, baby, I'm coming. You gotta let me know if you're around. Say hi to you and your fam. So I think, you know, and then there's rain. There's going to be rain in Mobile, I guess. I'm going to be crashing with an increasing crew. I thought it was just going to be this boyfriend-girlfriend couple, but they got another fan out there. So we're going to have, like, little fans. Might have a meetup in San Antonio. I think I might do that. Houston as well. A lot of people in Texas. If Liberator ever gets back to me, I might have free lodging in Tucson. That would be good if he'd get back to me. Might even hike Sabino Canyon. That was a fun hike. Sabino Canyon over in Tucson. Look it up. They have signs. Panthers and mountain lions have lost their fear of human presence and have been known to attack lone hikers. Like, oh, that's nice. I don't know. I don't know. I'll be coming in. They'll be, hey, how you doing? And, I get there when I get there. And I'll leave when I leave. I will do all the dishes. I will flush the potty. I will not leave dental floss on the ground. I will be a great and gracious guest in your place. I just don't know when I'm getting there. I don't know. So I do know, though, San Antonio, I will be staying on the north side. So for those of you in San Antonio, we're probably going to do a meet. A lot of people in San Antonio for some reason. So I will be going there. And my key friend, my nucleus friend, her and her boyfriend live on the north side. So I'm going to kind of hang out in that general area. I got to pick on them. And then, we'll probably get a nice quiet place, not too loud. Have a little meetup. Send me an email or something, I'll let you know. And already a couple people have offered to bring guns in case there's anyone who wants to make an attempt. You may get me, but you ain't getting out alive. Not going to happen. Let's do some sponsors really quick here, and I have pulled it up.
My Amazon affiliate program. If you buy shit online, please go through my Amazon affiliate program first. All you have to do is go to captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon banner in the top right. Buy your stuff. And that actually helps. It goes a long way. It really does. I'm actually making pretty good money off of that. And that definitely keeps the lights on here over at Cappy Cap. We have Asshole Consulting. If you have a question, you need my specialized services, something a little bit more personalized, not just me yelling at the internet and cursing and swearing. But there's some problem that you particularly have, personal problem, let me know. And as long as you got money, I'll help you out. Go to assholeconsulting.com. Follow the directions. Don't be a high school age cunt. We're like, I didn't know you charge. Please don't be that white, pasty, suburbanite kid who's used to have everything paid for you. I'm being deadly serious. Please be more like my Latino and black clients who know they have to pay. Okay? Don't come in there thinking everything's fucking paid for. All right? I'm being honest. I get higher payments from the minorities because like, oh yeah, we got actually Asians. They obviously know. I don't know why. I shouldn't say obviously. But the Asians say, yeah, here's your money. Okay, there was no... And then I get the balls on some of you people. You charge well, man. It's like, shut the fuck up and go vote for Sanders and you fucking pussy. Then we have the books, Enjoy the Decline, How to Learn and Live with the Death of the United States, Worthless, Young Person's Indispensable Guide to Choosing the Right Major. We have my best of books. There's Captain Capitalism Reserved and Captain Capitalism Top Shelf. All these, by the way, at Amazon.com. Bachelor Pad Economics, that also is on Amazon. They're all on Amazon. And all of them are in paperback and Kindle. Worthless is in audio. And Davis has finally gotten me all the audio files, of which I have to do some further editing. And I'm frankly not going to cross-advertise the audiobook of this over my new book. But Bachelor Pad Economics will be coming out in audio probably within a month or two. Once we quality up the audio. And then, the new book, Curse of the High IQ, that's out. That one, not even really political. I mean, there's certainly some elements when you talk about that, that people will say it's political. It's not. It really isn't. It's just true. Smart people bail out stupid people. On average, don't fucking give me your technicalities. There was this one thing that basically look at the budget, and it's smart, high IQ people bailing out low IQ people. That's all it is. So that's about the most political thing there. The rest of it really is apolitical. So if you are having troubles in life and you're wondering why you don't like sports ball or why you're not wearing another man's football jersey or why it's borderline impossible for you to have a good time at a bar or a club and you can't find yourself not that you can't find a date, but you can find a date, but then you want the date to be as quickly as over as possible because the conversation is painful, male or female. Go and get that book, Curse of the High IQ. Yes! It will be out in Kindle. Audiobook will be coming much later. Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty, for all of our black brothers out there who want to escape poverty. And I do mean that. If you want to escape poverty, the book is for you. You want to bitch and whine and moan, the book is not for you. Go listen to Oprah. Go listen to Obama. Go do whatever it is whiners do and never progress or... avail themselves of life. But if you want to avail yourself of life and no longer be a slave to the Democrat Party, may I suggest you go get the Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. The best offshore banks. Nomad Capitalist. He came out with his books. You can go to nomadcapitalist.com. But his book, The Best Offshore Banks, that's also available there. Go to my blog first, though, and click on it because it's got that link back thing so he knows I sent him traffic. And then the Cafe Press, where the same three shitty coffee mugs and bumper stickers have always been. Can you tell it's kind of like back burner bottom of the to-do list thing? Glorious hat for all you people over on the East Coast who just got hit with that snow. Too late for you to get your Glorious hat. You could have been prepared for this winter if you had Glorious hat, but you didn't. You didn't buy it from Glorious Carl. Go to glorioushat.com, get Glorious hat. And hey, it is tax time. If you're looking for a tax accountant, someone to do your taxes, or maybe just advise you on finances, accounting, taxation, put together a tax plan. I know we have some richer people. We know we've got some doctors. May I recommend my good friend Chad Elkins? You can go to my website, captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. You click on Chad Elkins' banner. He's only got his Facebook up. Frankly, and you say, well, how professional is that? It's really professional because he's doing accounting work and he's very busy. I remember I hung out with him in Chicago one time, and he ended up getting a client, and he couldn't hang out with us. He had to give, and that guy worked hungover because we went and partied the night before. He worked hungover from 2 in the afternoon to
about 1 in the morning working on this emergency case because his client fucked up. So here's the thing. I don't want to send... Let's help each other out here in the Cappy Cap world, okay? We are a better class of people. We're a higher class. I didn't write the book for average people. I wrote The Curse of the High IQ for you guys and smart people. Because we're very smarter, faster, harder, better, faster, stronger, Daft Punk type of people. We're just better. I'm not saying morally. I'm saying we got our shit together. We're smart. And the worst thing you can do running a business is have stupid clients, okay? You could not get me to work at a ghetto Taco Bell. You just couldn't. You could not get me to work over at you couldn't get me to work in Wyoming ever again. My life is too short to be working for or with stupid people. And Chad wants that. He wants higher class clients. He doesn't want people that cheat on their taxes and then he's got to go fucking represent them over at the IRS. He doesn't want, he wants people that has their shit together that are going to present, I mean, not respect, certainly respect, but value a high quality CPA. So he's a high quality CPA. He's looking for high quality clients. No bullshit. If you get your stuff into them on time, you're not filing extensions. Basically, if you're the type of client that's always filing extensions, you think the IRS is being, you know, payment is optional. Well, I didn't know that the IRS really wanted their money. If you're one of those dipshits, don't bother pissing off a chat. But if you're like, yeah, I got a business, I got this, I maybe even some estate planning or whatever, Chad is the guy you want to talk to. Also, Chad Elkins' guide. Is that open? Is that available? Hang on, let's take a look here. Chad Elkins' tax guide. That's got to be available. Why isn't... Because him and his old man banged that out pretty quick. We got the tax guide for 2016. Got 2015, 2014. Oh, here it is. 2016 tax guide. Yeah, so the Elkins Comprehensive 2016 Tax Guide. That is also available on Amazon.com. I'll have to throw up the ad on the old Cappy Cap sphere there. So if you just want to read the book, if you're an accountant yourself and you just want a guide or whatever, you can go there. But if you do want his tax services, go to my website, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com. Click on his little logo there and get your taxes done right. Pay your fucking taxes. Don't dick around. Do the Philippines by Matt Forney. Matt Forney's new book, Do the Philippines. Go to mattforney.com, get that book. And then my little library there, the Captain's Library. Welcome to the Divide by SP Daily. As I Walk These Broken Roads by Arini. The Educator by Marty Andrade. Also, Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse by Marty Andrade. And Silvio Cantos, Cubanos in Wisconsin. Those are all there on Amazon as well. Let me make sure... We'll do a second round of ads. I just want to make sure I get... Oh, wait, no, you guys already listened to the Clary podcast. I'm just going through my blog to see where all the sponsors are to make sure I don't forget anybody. I should really get some key files and put on my laptop. I just grabbed my laptop and went. Oh, you got your passport, you got this, you got that. I was thinking about going to Mexico. Looked at the Copper Canyon and yeah, I don't think I can make it. 17 hours and that's leaving Phoenix. See, I want to go to Mexico. Because then I could like put a Canadian badge, patch, Canadian flag, U.S. flag, Mexican flag on my motorcycle jacket. So I was thinking the Highway 10 does run parallel to the Mexican border. I was thinking like, I'll just dip in, drive along the other side of it, and then dip out. And I could say I drove in Mexico. And but then I looked at like, no, you don't want to go on that side at all. Like, that's the worst crime-ridden area. I'm like, yeah... And then you think, like, okay, really? You know, I'm a lone guy. I guess that makes me a better target. I'm on a motorcycle. I kind of look badass. I kind of look like a loner. I don't look like I'm a mule for anything. I'm not running drugs. You know, like, if I just kind of... I could be operating under a complete, totally wrong premise or assumption. And that is, when it comes to these drug dealers, if you just leave them the fuck alone... They're going to leave you alone. But then there's kidnappings, you know? And my way out of that one, because this is what your mind thinks about when you're driving across the country, to visit your buddy Beth, who never comes visits you. No, you got to drive all the way out to fucking Seattle to visit her. She'll never come visit you. So when you run out of podcasts to listen to, your mind's left to wander, these are the things that your brain comes up with. So you think like, well, if I got kidnapped, one, no one would pay the ransom. Because nobody likes me back at home. Two, ain't nobody got the money to make it worth their while. I mean, it'd almost be like a ransom of Red Chief. I'd be like, you got the wrong guy. I'm sorry, you know. And they, oh, but do Americans, you value the, they think the dollar is so much more valuable. It's like, yeah, not $100. You've wasted more gas and bullets kidnapping me than you're ever going to. This is a money-losing operation right now. You are not good. They don't even want me back in the United States. This is, you know. But I guess, you know, if you got a modicum, you could take out a loan or whatever. And then I started reading up, like, just don't go. Just don't do it. Just don't go. You're getting shot. There's crime. People are beheaded, kidnapped. They don't give a shit. I'm like, okay, you know, they'll get your kidney. What? I'm like, all right, fine. I won't go to Mexico. Still kind of irked me. Look, I said, what am I? Who wouldn't like to just drive down to Mexico, you know? Drive down there. It's warmer. God almighty, 40 degrees here in Florida. I'm sure I'm glad I left the cold up north. But I mean, just, come on, let's go. Why can't it be like Canada? I know why it can't be like Canada, because it's a second world nation. It's not Western culture. I understand that. But I would prefer to go where it's warmer. And Mexico's mountains is beautiful. Why can't I just hop across, go further south? I like Arizona. All Mexico is a continuation of Arizona. Cactus and driving and enjoying. This is different. Small little dusty western towns. No, I can't do it. Because of drugs and politics. All right, fine. I can't do it. I mean, I can do it, but it's not worth the risk. Basically, that's what I'm saying. It's not worth the risk. So I'll probably just go up into Phoenix. What the hell was I talking about? I don't know. Okay, I got that. Why do I even have this ad up here, this Captain Comes to Campus thing? No one's ever... I did three or four speeches for schools. They all kind of suck. Not the speeches, but like they were so poorly mismanaged and it led me down the path to realize how badly managed the Republican Party is. Look, if you want me to come to... I'm going to get rid of this thing. Either you have me come and give your commencement speech. Have me come give your commencement speech at your college. You want a real commencement speech? You want a real speaker? Not some limp dick fucking faggoty liberal leftist shithead. It's the evil in the future and the great. Same old shit. Don't you get tired of it? Wouldn't you want something like a little different? So if you want me to come to campus and speak, I will. I work for travel, lodging, and food. It's just to get out of the house. But I think I'm going to take that down. That's done enough. This is taking up precious real estate. Oh, where are we going to get, what's her name, to pose with more books? I got to go talk to her. She's a nice girl. AcademicComposition.com. Go visit my buddy Alex over at AcademicComposition.com. Don't do your own papers, all right, in college. Have somebody else write them for you, especially those liberal arts papers. That's worthless. That's bullshit. You do what every smart corporation does. You do what every smart U.S. company and employer does. You outsource the boring-ass shit work you don't want to do. It's not going to help you in your career. These classes are absolutely worthless. They're just screwing you over for 2 years more of tuition money that you don't need to pay to employ worthless liberal arts professors. So why don't you fuck them back the only way you can? Have somebody else do your homework. Go to academiccomposition.com and have Alex and his crackpot team of staff writers help you out there. Also, he's always hiring. So if you're a good writer, you can bang out 10 pages of bullshit and you make, I think it's $10 a page. So if you're very efficient, you know, and you can bang out 3 pages, you could live off of that. If you're desperate for work and you're good at writing, you can type fast, you can live off of that. And he's also always looking for people to do advertising over on Craigslist. Nothing exciting, don't get excited. It's boring work. All jobs are boring, this one too. But if you're in a pinch for money and you got a laptop and you got internet access, that's all you need. And I think we're good to go. Yeah, that's it. Wonderful. All right. No, yes, Jesus Christ. Remember the mid-90s when computers did what you wanted them to? The operating systems were pretty straightforward. There's a start button on the bottom left. Let me pull up my article here. I think it was Baldoni that put this on to me. MGM to start charging for parking on Vegas Strip. Bucking tradition. In a city built on luring tourists with cheap thrills and free cocktails, a big part of the Las Vegas Strip will soon slash its most basic freebie, parking. MGM Resorts International announced Friday that it will become the first major casino company to start charging visitors this year for parking. The move could bring in millions of dollars annually and dramatically change a tourism hotspot that increasingly caters to visitors who come for pricey attractions besides gambling. Experts called the parking fee surprising, but it follows another trend MGM pioneered, the resort fee, now a standard on the Strip. And that's why I don't stay on the Strip anymore. I really don't. when they started putting that resort fee in there, I'm like, okay, done. Nope, I could go off strip, find myself a non-resort fee hotel, and I'll just shuttle it in or whatever. I remember that. Like, I went to, it's some shit new casino, like the SJ or the SD or the DJ or something like that. It's on the far north end of the quote new strip, right before it turns into the ghetto, and that was just slapped together plastic and Legos. That thing is going to be torn down so quickly. It is not there to stay. Somebody did a short to medium term calculation, said we could throw up really shoddy construction, act like we're quote on the strip. They also lied. What was the name of that casino? They said they're a 4-star casino. They are or hotel resort. They are not. And then they stab you with that fucking $20 resort fee. So that's it. I'm done with, yeah. Don't stay off the strip. Just listen to people live in Vegas. There's so much more to do than the strip. There is. There's so much to do in Vegas. So I'm moving there, by the way. Maybe I'll tell you guys about that later. Sin City's largest hotel casino operator said it will charge up to $10 for overnight self-parking at most of its strip properties starting this spring, coinciding with the April opening of Las Vegas company's T-Mobile Arena. MGM Resorts has 33,310 rooms and 37,000 parking spots in the strips, which come at... I want to see the full article. Oh, you fucking nerds. Silicon Valley is going to lose all of its value if these guys can't make this shit more user-friendly. I know you guys got to get your ads in there. I know every one of you fucking nerds have been told, like, put in our spyware, put in our software, put in our bloatware. We need it, we need it. Make them sign up for, you want to take a shit? You need to sign in with your account Google at Access. You know what? You guys got the thing. I don't have to go on. They're probably going to go through numbers and data. Here's the deal. Like me being right with my buddy about it being stupid to only have one dish, like to get upset that a dish is dirty, that you can have no dirty dishes. I am also 100% right that if you want your downtown area or you want business to boom, I understand you want profitability, but if you want to attract people downtown or to your facility, you need to make them want to go there. And every fee, toll, expressway, cover charge, every time you do that, not only you nickel and diming them, sometimes gouging them for $5-$10 at a shot, you're slowing down their process, their progress. You're causing a traffic jam. Sometimes literally on the highway. I don't know, Florida, we went out to Orlando and we had to stop at these damn tolls. I'm like, this is the most inefficient shit ever. If you want us to pay it, just jack up the gas tax in gasoline stations in this area, okay? And then have it dedicated to help. That is a much more efficient way of doing it. You're going to raise the same amount of fucking money, but you're not making people pull over every 5 miles and causing traffic jams like they got in Chicago. Casinos is the same thing. Oh, now you got to pay to park. Oh, now you got to pay it again. Oh, now you got to pay to get in the cover. Oh, now you got to pay drinks to get in. It harkens to why sushi is now cheap, okay? I've talked about this before, but let's go through this again. You eliminate entire processes. You eliminate entire unnecessary, obsoleted gallbladders from your system, and it streamlines the operation. And you see this perfectly when sushi used to be a specialized food. You could only get it at Japanese restaurants. There may have been one, if you're lucky, two authentic Japanese restaurants. It was made to order, and you paid literally, by today's standards, at least around $40, at least. Now, I've said it before, thank you to the Chinese restaurant business, very savvy. They said, okay, taking each time to specialize order sushi for all these people is going to take a lot of labor. If we make it in batches, the most popular sushi, and we put it out there in as part of all-you-can-eat buffets, we cut out a huge labor expense, the ingredients aren't that much, and we're allowed to free up more time. And guess what? The price of sushi has dropped to a quarter of what it used to be. Capitalism in that. Perfect textbook example of capitalism, innovation, creativity, economic advancement, and just good entrepreneurship too. Good old-fashioned businessmanship. That's what I loved about it. And now, somebody at MGM with an MBA or worked in government is starting to think like a city council person, starting to think like a downtown Democrat, where it's like, they should pay to come to our great town. And they're starting to get arrogant and cocky. And now they think, well, we're going to charge people to park here because we can't. And all you're doing is making it less convenient for... This is now another hurdle. And not just a hurdle on a price they got to pay. Not just to cover like a financial cost and a time cost. Now they got to worry. Oh, it's overnight parking. Where did I park? Do I have to go feed the meter? Do you really... I mean, you guys remember this when before you guys got wise. You know, we were in our teens and 20s and you go downtown. Oh, the meter. We got to feed the meter. How much time is left on the meter? I don't know. Was it a limited time parking meter? Are we over time? Even if we fed the meter, we would be kicked out. Do we park in the ramp? Where is it in the ramp? Can we leave it overnight? We're pretty drunk. We should get a sober cab. I don't know. Can we leave it over? Won't I get charged? Did I lose my ticket? You make the entire experience less. When people go and gamble, they want to gamble and drink and have fun in Vegas. That's what they want to do. They don't want to be worried in the back of their fucking neck about this little annoying, this like mosquito in their ear at night. And I always got a kick, like downtown Minneapolis, I know a lot of you haven't been here. I don't advise you come here. There's no reason. St. Paul, good Lord, there's nothing to do there. But Cleveland, Cincinnati, all these downtown areas, they in classical, dumbass, democratic fucktardery, they don't think logically. They think government has the solution to everything, and they think the solution is always that hammer of more government money. And so you're going to tax people and annoy them. It's really more the annoyance than the cost that you got to worry about this. And so now people aren't going to go downtown. No one's going downtown Minneapolis anymore. Except like the kids from college who don't know any better, and even they'll get sick of it. And then there's still a few people that go to like ghetto or hip hop night, maybe. But downtown Minneapolis is a fraction of what it used to be. And I remember at 6 p.m., I think they had it balanced rather well. I understand during rush hour and during the daytime, you need traffic flowing. You can't just have people clogging up spots and spaces. But at 6 p.m., all the meters went off. And then you knew at 6 p.m., you could go downtown. You could go, my favorite place was the Times Cafe. You could go there. You could park right there. There was ample parking nearby. All the suburbanite fucks went back to their little fucking ferret cages out in the suburbs. They've cleared up the streets, and all of us city dwellers could go and enjoy the city. And then all of a sudden, it was 8 p.m. Everyone got tickets like, what is it, 6? Oh, we changed it, but we didn't tell anybody. It's like, well, that feels kind of... And then you get towed. And then all of a sudden, now your meters are running at like 10 to midnight. You just got to pay to have the honor and privilege to come to downtown. Who wants to go downtown? Who wants that bullshit? Who wants to pay for parking? Why don't you... I know it's female thinking. Everyone should pay to have the honor of being in your presence. But if you really want to attract more people, if you would like to attract more men, why don't you be nice? Why not, instead of punishing people for coming downtown, you make it easy for them to come downtown? Hey, you know what? Pass a sales tax. Fine, pass a sales tax. At least you don't have to go drive around for 15 minutes to find a spot, and then when you do, you got to worry about paying for it, and then, oh God, the meter might run out. You don't have to worry about that. See, if I was ever a city mayor, council type person, I'd really put for, all right, look, we're going to make parking free. Okay, this is what I loved about Vegas when I went there. I was like, oh God, I got to pay for parking. And I forgot who it was. He said, oh no, you don't pay for parking. I'm like, what? No, just pull in any hotel. Just park there. Really? I'm like, yeah. I said, well, what if I'm not going to go to that casino? Like, they don't care. Because you got to walk through their casino to get to your car. You park wherever you want in Vegas. And it worked. It was great. It was like this freedom that I never experienced before, especially compared to living in Chicago. Just I parked. I parked where did I park? Not Circus. Excalibur. Parked at New York. Parked there. Because I found a spot. And I just walked up and down the strip. It was red. There's my car. No tickets. No worries. No bullshit. It really was a reason I went back to Vegas. I'm like, yeah, you don't have to park. You don't have to pay to park. You just park. You relax. People let you do. You just walk around. And I'm not even advocating you get rid of the taxation. As in with the tolls. There is no godly reason you should have physical tolls where you got to pull over, pay some government employee getting paid a bloated wage to flip them a quarter. So you can drive the next 2 miles to pay another bloated government employee another fucking quarter. Florida. Not to mention the infrastructure that goes in it. You can still get your money through easier sales taxes. Because you outsource that labor to an already existing infrastructure of employees through the private companies and private sector. Gas stations, Quickie Mart, and you just program it. There's the tax. You already probably have a sales tax. All you're going to do is increase it by 1/10 of 1%. And people may not like it. They may still have to pay, quote, the tax. But at least you're not clogging up the roads. You're not taking out. How many hours a day do people waste paying damn toll roads? How much time do we sit over in Chicago highways because you fuckers put a toll road by Deer Park and it just clogs it up where, what is it, 94 and is it 2? What is it? They split off. I mean, they merged right there and then they said to put a toll road. So there's always a Sunday afternoon. This is almost 20 years ago. Sunday afternoon, you think there's going to be no traffic? Nope. Traffic jam 20 fucking miles long. Because you fucktards in Chicago still think you got to put a goddamn toll right there. If you didn't have it, you wouldn't have this traffic problems. You wouldn't. And for you Democrats who are all about the global warming, if you freed up these traffic jams, there'd be a lot less carbon emissions. And so MGM and private talk, hey, you can do it, MGM. Go ahead. I'm not going. I am not going to MGM Casino. I enjoyed the MGM Casino. I didn't mind it. But I'm not going to go there. It's precisely for this. What is wrong with you people? I'm sure they had some very high-level analysts going, oh, you could make more money. And they didn't even consider about there's another article. I think it was the Cosmopolitan. They said, nope, we're doing free parking. Fuck that. Come to Cosmopolitan. Dude, you go knock yourself out. You know what would be, they kind of insinuated that MGM was really smart. They did the resort fee. And now everybody does the resort fee. You want to know what's going to be smarter than that? The first fucking one of you casinos that advertises no resort fee. No fuck you in the ass fee. And then all of a sudden, boom. Because last I recall, ain't none of you coming up to 100% capacity, right? None of you are really sold out ever. I think there's some floors that are still unfinished over on the Aria. That's what I'd be doing. I say, no resort fee. I'd be advertising the fuck out of that. You can see, look at that. Seriously, you guys wonder why I charge $100 an hour. I'm a steal. I'm a steal compared to Accenture, Bain, McKinsey. Go to assholeconsulting.com for any of you people out there in Vegas who want like some advice how to run your casinos. What an arrogant, cocky prick. Yeah, but I'm right. If you advertise, like if you have excess capacity, you have the staff, you have the infrastructure, and you want to get more people into your building, not to mention the roulette tables, you just advertise no resort fee. That's it. And then people show up. And if you need it, if you still got to make it up on the drinks. Make it up on something else. Put in higher winning percentage games. Tailor or tweak your blackjack variables. But dude, you'll get them in because you'll be different. You'll be the ones without the resort fee. So I just want to point that out. Vegas is interesting, man. Vegas is interesting. All right, what else we have here? I'm doing my notes on my phone. Because the laptop, I'm basically living out of a backpack and a small one. My motorcycle I bought has saddlebags, thank God. And it's literally going to double the capacity of what I was carrying. Because I flew Spirit because I'm a cheap bastard. And you have to have like a one backpack. You only get one carry-on. Otherwise, they charge you. And I managed to fit everything in there. I'm so good that I take my sandals to Florida with me. Lord knows I didn't need them here. And I strap them onto the outside of the backpack so I get the maximum amount of room. But now that I got these saddlebags, I can throw it in. And what I'm saying is I'm packing very lightly, so I can't. Where'd it go? I use my laptop, and so I can't run two screens at a time. So I have to use my phone to read the internet and then record with the laptop. Brendan Eich. Hang on, let's take a look at this. If you don't remember who Brendan Eich was the Mozilla CEO who was forced out by a bunch of social justice warriors and spineless, pussy, leftist, Silicon Valley nerds. God, I hope Sanders gets elected for you people. I hope. And then what do you mean I have to sell my house in Malibu? So he got pushed out because he made a donation for, what was it? I think it was the anti-gay marriage legislation, not the legislation. He just made a donation to a political group. And then, in true Nazi form, they fired him. And he said, okay, fine. And what's great about this story is it just shows you can't keep a good man down. You little social justice warrior pussies, you little fucking losers, you little parasites who have absolutely nothing. You have no value, you have nothing to offer society. All you can do is take down other people. That's the best you can do. And him just coming up, so he says, okay, I'm fired, guess what? Start my own browser. Brendan Eich is making a comeback. He's the creator of JavaScript and one of the founders of Mozilla. Yeah, he created his own programming language. You think you're going to keep this fucker down? You think he wasn't just going to, like, sidestep you all? The organization behind the Firefox browser, so he knows a thing or two about the web. But in 2014, after being appointed CEO of the Mozilla Corporation, he found himself in the middle of a firestorm. Eich had donated to Proposition 8, a failed California ballot initiative that aimed to define marriage as between one man and one woman. When news of the donation became public, he was criticized highly and ultimately resigned from the role. Eich is now launching a new startup called Brave that aims to fix a problem with modern internet advertisements. Advertising is sick, Eich says. It's intrusive, tracking users with cookies, tracker pixels, fingerprinting, everything, and slowing the internet down to boot. God bless you. You go to these fucking... I have a list. Did I put it on here? I have a list. I was going to write an article about it. Oh, maybe it's on my main drive back at home. Yeah, it's on the main drive. I should have backed that up. Should have grabbed myself a thumb drive. Anyway, I have a list like Breitbart, all the Republican sites, and I'm sure the Democrat sites have too. NRO Online. Drudge is about the only one that does it because it's slick and operatable. But my gosh, you guys want us to read your shit? And you just load it up with pop-up ads and all this other stuff? My computer shuts down. I don't know about you, but I have, when I had Mozilla and now I have Pale Moon, I don't know if they programmed for this or not, but it also installs, and you gotta wait a full fucking 45 seconds, which is an eternity. You can get a lot of shit done in that 45 seconds. And then finally, the computer finally wakes up, the browser finally wakes up, says, hey, this isn't working. Should we stop these scripts for running? And you say, yes, and I want you to remember this decision I make, that it's a completely new script. So now, and he's right, he's absolutely right. All this bullshit advertising. Look, this is why I don't have the pop-ups on my site. I got static ads. There they are. What you see is what you get. You load up Cappy, that's it. It's done. But my God, Facebook, this, that. Oh, Yahoo Mail, those fuckers putting their goddamn... And if there's a way I could get a browser to get rid of all that shit, hell yes. Advertising is sick, Eich says. It's intrusive. Tracking users with cookies, tracker pixels, fingerprinting, everything, and slowing the internet down to boot. And as a result, users are increasingly turning to ad-blocking software to eliminate them altogether. Eich's solution, a new web browser that blocks all adverts by default and then replaces them with new ones. Brave, the browser, is going to have ad-blocking software baked into it. This, Eich told Business Insider in an interview, will have two benefits, privacy and speed. First, privacy. Modern advertising is invasive, building up profiles to target users more effectively with ads. This is why people use anti-tracking plugins. This is why the use of, I think you meant to write, Mr. Business Insider author, have proliferated. Brave preserves data sovereignty and anonymity, Eich said. Next, speed. Ad tech and trackers can significantly slow down the time it takes to load pages. No shit. So by stripping out this extra junk, you can see impressive speed gains 2 or 4 times faster. Oh, I love it. He says that for another browser to match Brave's speed, out of the box you need to add the plugins Ghostery, Disconnect Me, AdBlock Plus, and even then you have to tune them. Replacing advertisements with advertisements. I like how they say adverts. Replacing adverts? Oh my God. Is that like an abbreviation for country as a cunt? Sorry, that was a fraternity. You don't call a fraternity a frat. It's like calling your country a cunt. It's like, yeah, that's why I don't hire dude bros. We need to clean the swimming pool, Eich says. Chlorinate the pool. Only by doing that can we build a better ad model for publishers as well as users. This is the more radical aspect of Brave. Reinsert new advertisements. The browser will detect where adverts should go and fill them with new programmatic advertising. Eich says by doing so, they can offer a better deal to publishers that currently exist by cutting out the ad tech middlemen. Oh, would that be great to get rid of those people? This is like getting rid of the junk mail of the old days. This is before your time, kids. Back in the day, you get advertisements in the mail. It was paper mail. And then technology created by evil right-wing capitalists came along, and we created the internet and with email. And then we got rid of all the poor trees that were being cut down in the Amazon forest because we hate the environment. So now that's why you have ads. So this is getting rid of the junk mail equivalent. Publishers will get around 55% of the revenues. 15% will go to Brave. 15% will go to the partner that supplies the ads. And interestingly, 10-15% goes directly to the user. Oh, am I signing up for this? I could run my ads through Brave. Oh, that'd be great. It won't be huge, Ike says, but this will let users automatically make micropayments to publishers they like. Brave will then block all the adverts on the sites that they choose to pay for. The adverts that Brave display will be based on tags generated from the user's browsing history, although this history won't be shared with advertisers. This is arguably somewhat invasive, although users can customize their tags and add or remove them as they wish. The key details. Oh wow. You guys got to see this picture of like what a website would look with and without Brave. It just cleans the hell up out of the site. Oh, I'm so getting Brave. Brave will be available on all the major platforms, Windows and OS X on desktop and Android and iOS on mobile, with a public launch planned for later this year. It's based on Chromium, the open source software behind Google's Chrome browser, and will itself be open source. Ike says he hopes organizations like rights groups EFF will audit Brave's code to bolster its privacy and centric credentials. Brave has raised $2.5 million of angel investments so far, though is continuing to seek more. Ike talks about a tipping point of around 7 million plus users to show the system works. But even at 7 million, he doesn't expect the ad revenue to cover our costs. Brave is always fundraising until we get to that profitable state, and we hope to get there soon. It's going to be different this time. The backlash Brendan Ike faced after the news of his Proposition 8 donation was divisive. While some believed he was right to step down, others argued that protesters went too far. I don't even know how that's a debate. I really don't. I don't know how that is. The guy exercised his freedom of speech. That's what he did. This is why I have a hard time defending the United States. If there's that many fucking Nazis out there, not to mention the fucking leaders of Mozilla and the board voted him out or kind of muscled him out or whatever. I don't know. I can't. Why? Why would I? Why would we help our fellow man here? If that's what it is. This is McCarthyism applied by civil actors. Except McCarthy was right. There were communists in the U.S. government. This is the definition of intolerance, Andrew Sullivan wrote. It's staggering to me that a minority long persecuted for holding unpopular views can now turn around and persecute others for the exact same reason. If we cannot live and work alongside people with whom we deeply disagree, we're finished as a liberal society. Ike isn't keen to talk about it. I asked whether he was surprised by the intensity of the reaction. He said only that he was looking forward to Brave and not looking back at all. Yeah, because he's going to fucking torpedo Mozilla and put these fuckers out of business. Is he worried that his political views would alienate potential users and partners? For better or worse, dating app OkCupid tried to organize a boycott of Firefox until he resigned back in 2014. It's going to be different this time. I don't expect it to happen again, Ike says. He has a lot of fellow employees of all backgrounds and beliefs. See, you know what? What's going to happen? Here's what... I know you touchy-feely... corporations always play the safe, politically correct game because you don't want to alienate everybody. But when it comes to an angel investor or startup, you're going to get more initial capital right off the bat if at least you pick a side. I mean, left or right, right or wrong, politically incorrect or Nazi, or politically incorrect or Nazi. Correct. That's what I meant to say. And him just saying, yeah, he's going to get a lot. I'm going to sign up for the beta testing. Shit, I might even donate money. Because at least, you know, I'd rather have this guy go. I got rid of Mozilla right away, replaced it with Pale Moon. And even Pale Moon, like, there's been a couple instances where I've tried troubleshooting everything, and this isn't working, email online, everything. Turns out that I have this browser. Pale Moon isn't updated frequently enough. I don't want Chrome. That is way too much memory for a browser. Way too much space. Whatever your point of view, I don't think it's going to repeat. I welcome the chance to do something innovative. I'm just amazed. The guy comes up with JavaScript and Mozilla, and it shows you the commies are. Shows you how the fucking Nazis are, people. It wasn't the right leaning, you know. Oh, the fascists. You're gonna. I mean, really, name some right winger that's gotten someone like Ike fired. Seriously, Nate, where do you see people on the right trying to get people fired like this? Oh, well, let's go do a little bit more sponsors here. Pull up the thing again. Gotta scroll down. Did I do them all? No. Oh, Vox Day. Go to voxday.blogspot.com. Get us two new books. Conservatives and Social Justice Warriors Always Lie. He was kind enough to plug my book. What was the book he plugged? Enjoy the Decline? So help him. I haven't read them yet. I've been busy, as you guys all know. I don't really read a lot of books. And if I do, it's like you got to pay me. But him and I had kind of an advertising arrangement. But I'm sure they're fine. Go ahead and read through the reviews. They're very, very good. And you guys, I do read Vox Day. So I'm sure if you are familiar with his writing, you know he's a good writer. What the hell? Did I put this here? No, I didn't have this here. These are all the audio files. Where'd my podcast? No. I don't know why I have that. That's an old file. Let's delete that. Are you cleaning up your desktop, Aaron? Yeah, I am. No, that's an old one, too. Let's get rid of that. I have like three files for podcasts, all of which I've gone over. I'm just looking for the sponsor list. Podcast Florida, is this it? Fat Studies, latest course tailored for campus. Oh, there's been so many articles that went through, guys. Maybe I'll get through them. Maybe I'll do a couple podcasts from the road, you know, play catch up. But so many just crazy bad. But after a while, do you want to go over it again? Yes, crazy shit happens. What? University of Las Vegas has a golf. You can major. Someone sent me an article. Las Vegas, Nevada, UNLV, you can major in golf management. This one is, there's Fat Studies and Fat Acceptance courses. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to document every instance of crazy? It really has put my brain down a different path. In part why this next book I wrote was not necessarily political or what's been interesting. I don't care anymore. I don't really want to keep up with it. I don't watch debates. You guys know I've been out of politics for a while. I kind of, even economics, I kind of like, until something really different happens, I'm like, okay, this is what I want to do with this. There's got to be more to it because we've done what we've done what we said we're going to do. We've made our case, but we're not feminists. We're not academias. This is we have to move and advance and evolve and progress. We have better brains than that. We don't just sit there and mope and hyperanalyze like they do over at the Virgintile Group or the Women's Studies Departments, where we come up with 38 different flavors of gender and MGTOW level 43 double D question mark ampersand with golden clusters. We don't do that. We want to move on. What I've even thought about doing, and I gotta do more research and study. It's gonna take a little bit, but I really want. I'm getting the impression, especially when I get reports back from my agents in the fields of different not white people. For example, the Muslims. I got Muslims, Asians in the field, and these are not your evil Muslims. These are your good Muslims and all that. And they're like, yeah, we're trying. Like, for example, on the right wing media, all you see is the attacks of Cologne, sexual assault. San Bernardino, and these things happen, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's not a problem. My policy is still to shut immigration down immediately. We vet everybody who's not a born U.S. citizen here, and we start exporting people, deporting them. I don't even care if you have U.S. citizenship or not. If you're questionable, you're out. You go back to your fucking country, I don't care. So that's my position. But in the same token, the problem that these Muslim... They're a part of the Cappy family, the Muslim part of the Cappy family. They're like, dude, we love it here. We love America. We'd never do this, da 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 da. And we try, but the media never covers us. You know, like I said, it was rare that one time you heard about that imam who was totally cool with Bellevue, Washington, having Christmas displays right across the mosque. They had. He's like, no, it's Christmas. And it's like, dude, okay. So you have to know this. Yeah, I mean... I got friends in Morocco and Muslims here and all this other stuff. Not a ton, but just as you are a sentient human being, just as you have your rights, and just as you know you don't want to destroy America, there are Muslims who love the country, or maybe they're not religious, but they're hailing from the Middle East. A lot of them have abandoned their religion because it's bullshit. No offense, offense to you practicing Muslims, but it's the same thing with the Christians. I hate the religion. I love you guys, but I hate your fucking religion. I hate all religions. It's so damaging. So much damaging bullshit. Where the hell was I going with this? Shit, really? Did I just totally lose my train of thought? Hang on. I mean, I remember. Okay. So I get emails, correspondence, not just from, this is not only Muslims, but other different groups of people. Say, yeah, look, we're trying to, we hate radical terrorists just as much as the next guy, but the media doesn't cover us, or they're not going to give us any coverage. But this is what's going on. And then a lot of women I'll run into are like, look, we're not all hate-filled feminists and this and that. We don't all study women's studies, and we may not be right-wing conservative women who go to church every day, but we're certainly not these people who are spilling SpaghettiOs out of their crotch, doing some kind of female dance or doing a vaginal knitting, which is a thing. Look it up. I'm not making this up. So I started to get the thinking. It's like, okay, how much are the media companies playing us against each other? And what put me onto it was the Daily Mail, because the Daily Mail, I know, and Telegraph, the two UK publications. Because I always get like, you know, I thought, okay, these are legitimate sources. And they always had these like just angering and enraging articles about, Bernard Chape is a perfect example of this. He'll take whatever they send him about a woman getting off scot-free and this and that. Well, it wasn't until the big kerfuffle when I wrote about a Mad Max Feminist Road, all of a sudden they came out and started attacking me. I'm like, wait a minute, I thought you were like this right-wing piece. No, they're playing both sides. Because for every enraging article you people on the right read from the Daily Mail, guarantee you the Daily Mail is sending out articles pointing out things that the left would be enraged about. And I can tell you, reading both the Daily Mail and the Daily Telegraph, they completely skewed it. Almost to the point it was just lies. There were some outright lies. I'm not a men's rights activist. I mean, I support it, but I'm not. That's my profession. And you really got to see that they're not in the business of journalism. They're in the business of drumming up drama and getting traffic. It's all traffic now. And so if they can get more eyeballs and more traffic and more hits, that drives their profits up. And they don't care. They'll play both sides. And they have no desire for intellectual integrity. It's all drama. It's all get people antagonized. So I'm thinking, okay, where's the truth? Because reading through, I used to think pretty much all the Daily Telegraph and Daily Mail was true. And now after like having them do the hit piece on me, I'm like, whoa, you guys are like maybe 20 or 30% accurate, and you just skew the rest of it. So then I start, you know, like Fox News, CNN, all this other stuff. Right? What is real? How much of this is really true versus how much of it is spin and all that other stuff? And it's to the point that not only am I questioning how much of it is true, it's so rehearsed, I don't even have to bother watching because I know what the other person's going to say. It's going to be nothing new. It's going to be like watching a presidential debate or a presidential speech. You don't need to tune in. So I think what the next evolution, the next thing to evolve, to go to the next step and push the envelope, which is never done by feminists or virgin Taos, is to start analyzing the media itself. And so I don't know how I was going to do it. I'm thinking I contact Twitter and say, all right, I want to find out how many different types of people in this group or this organization or this political stream or this philosophical stream, how many people have how many different followers? Or YouTube, how many different types? And I want to know like where the majority, and I couldn't do it like I'm just going to sample people I know, there's selection bias. I want to go to Twitter and say, okay, show me who has the most followers. And is there a way to sift through this data? Okay, we get rid of the Conan O'Briens and the obvious celebrities, right? Then we go build it down to politics. I wonder, when you take all the mainstream popularity stuff, pictures of kittens, Conan O'Brien, fluffy bunny shit, and you look at politics or feminism or race relations, whatever, who has the biggest followings? And then we reintroduce the mass media, like everyone's following, and then what percentage of the mass media is it? Like what percentage of the population is it? It doesn't even have to be population. It just has to be traffic or interest. I guess that's what Twitter would more follow, or YouTube subscribership. That would worth more. And then I almost guarantee you, when you compare it to the Kardashians or the football teams or whatever else, it's nothing. It's like 2% of the extreme left-wing population, 2% of the right-wing population, causing all the kerfuffle. And because we all have our horse blinders on, that's what we focus on. That's all we see. And the media hypes it up because it gets people enraged, it gets them advertising dollars. But then you walk outdoors, you know what? all the black people out there weren't exactly like eyeing me up looking to rob me of my shit. Wasn't a lot of white nationalists out there with funny looking pillow cases on their heads. I will say the women are arrogant. St. Petersburg, oh man, don't even bother. Holy shit. You don't, yeah, don't, that much is true. That much, every man sees that every day in his life. But in terms of, like, oh my gosh, could you believe that this woman got off for free with this? Like, yeah, I want to see the details of the case. You know, we're all ready to believe the single mom whose kid died or whatever, and she gets off scot-free. I like to see the case. I like to see the details of the case. But then when it comes to, like, some kid who got shot, black kid gets shot by a white police officer. No, no, we're going to side with the police. I'd like to see the case. That's why I don't get riled up about either, frankly. Because it's like, well, that's why you have a court case, an investigation, and you have a jury and a judge. That's why you have a trial. That's why you'll find out they're more informed than anybody else who's reading second, third, fourth hand articles being handed down by politically motivated, quote, news sources. And so that's the next step, I think, because, look, nothing's getting done. I found the National Review article very cute about Trump, how you have all these old, washed-up has-beens, never could achieve anything. I may even do a post about that where it's like, really? The National Review? You fucking conservatives have not been able to stop jack fucking shit. You had maybe Reagan. Maybe. And you got George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr., but if you look at government spending and the size of the state, the current establishment of the GOP, not just the GOP, but the conservative media establishment, you failed. You absolutely failed. I'm not saying Rush Limbaugh is wrong or Glenn Beck is wrong or the people who write or George Will is wrong. They're all right. Krauthammer's right. These people are right. They have just failed to stop the trend towards socialism. They have failed. It's kind of like 12 O'Clock High with Gregory Peck. That's the 8th Air Corps. They're bombing Europe. And everybody loves their commander. The commander's like very charismatic. He loves his boys. But they're not getting the job done. They're not getting the job done. Maybe I'll write an article about that. They're not knocking out Germany. They're not knocking out positions. They're missing their targets. And what they end up doing is Gregory Peck comes in. He relieves the guy that everybody loves. And he's a hard ass. And he doesn't care. Nobody likes them, but they get the job done. They tighten up. They get their act together. They become better. They get leper colony. They take all the rejects and they have them go into the most dangerous plane and say, until you guys act up, you know, get your shit together, you're going to fly and you're going to be in leper colony. And that's the difference. It's not a popularity contest. It's not even, and I know, I don't think anyone in the National Review or the current conservative movement, I don't think it ever was a popularity contest. Well, maybe some of them it was. But you guys have failed. This is why, I mean, I laugh at Dennis Prager. He's the most honest, well-intended guy. But he's outdated. You're going to war with machinery and equipment that's 100 years old and outdated. It is sending the Somali Navy of canoes up against the USS Ronald Reagan. The Democrats have got their act so much better together than the current conservative or right-leaning establishment on all fronts, all of it. When I gave that speech to the Republican Party and the Tea Party, both of them were fucking jokes. And if you're listening to me, you guys were fucking jokes. Everyone's like all amazed and holy shit. And I even put calls in like to join the Republican Party. I haven't even gotten a call back. I'm half tempted to go and pull a little fistful of dollars and play you both off against each other. The McCrafties and the Rojos? Just play, yeah, I'm a gunslinger. I'll go help the Democrats. They'll pay. They're more professional. You guys are a joke. Larger point is, you're failing. You're failing. Trump, whether you like him or not, whether his policies and his politics you agree with, whether you trust him or not, doesn't matter. He's got more people riled up for him, and he's not another fucking politician. He's doing it differently. And it's hilarious that you're going to ask people that you've been trying to... It's the same thing. Fucking running Mitt Romney and John McCain. I mean... Really? That's what you guys come up with? No wonder they're going to go with Trump. You guys are outdated. Your strategy isn't working. Very well intended. Heart's in the right place. You guys have failed still. And now we need a hard ass like Gregory Peck to come in, kick your asses in the leper colony, We don't need the Glenn Becks anymore. I do like Rush Limbaugh. I'd keep him over. I like Michael Savage. I mean, keep you guys, you're fine. But you're not doing anything. What you're doing isn't working. National Review, you guys all get your canes. You go to your snifter scotch thing events you go to. You wear your ascots. At least when I wear mine, I'm joking. Or I save it for rare occasions like New Year's Eve. Oh, but you guys, you think like this is William F. Buckley Jr. shit in 1970 all over again. This is hilarious. When do you wake up and realize it ain't working anymore? So that's what I'm that's what I think the next evolution is going to be. That's new ground. We haven't gone there before. But yeah, I don't care. Yes, there's stupid universities offering stupid degrees, and the stupid children who are brought up stupidly by their stupid parents are going to make stupid decisions. And the stupidity will continue on. I suggest you read Curse of the High IQ. But I'm done with it. Stupid feminist girl does stupid things, saying stupid shit out of her stupid mouth. I don't care anymore. The problem is not going to be solved. I'd rather go somewhere where at least there's new thought and maybe a chance that we can actually do something. I got a plan. Brilliant plan. Most revolutionary plan. I would need some money. I'd need some time off. I need the Koch brothers. I need somebody to donate some money. It would take some bit. But I've already kind of gone down this path. I know it's just not going to happen. And I'd have to do it Clary style. We'd have to go on a shoestring budget. We'd have to figure out a way to do it without relying on a lot of money. Internet would obviously be very much a part of that. But I'm kind of done. You guys kind of know that with the podcast. I'm not done here, certainly not. The podcast is me just talking about the day. Just talking about the day. Talking about the bikes. Talking about the Hallmark Channel. Talking about the men's Hallmark Channel. Because it's just so much better. I'd rather go outside, ride my motorcycle, say hi to the peeps, check out what's going on. Because everything, look, we've established our position. We have. The alternative right has established their position. It's very clear. We don't care if we get called racists or Nazis or sexists or homophobes. We don't care. We've stated our position. That's more than what these tail behind the legs conservative Republican types who might call me a racist. They rush out to claim they're not racist. We're beyond that. We've already done it. We've established the positions. We've written up wonderful volumes of work. Some crafted some great pieces of work. Some great policies, essays, philosophies, laws, principles. And nothing else really needs to be said. We're not feminists. We don't mire ourselves in it. And then constantly, there's other shit to do with our brains. Other shit to explore. I think it's time to like move the ball. I think Rusha actually going from Manister to neo-masculinity, pushing the ball forward. Because, you know, maybe a review of the basics here and there, but everything's been chronicled, everything's been documented. Our brains are too damn good. Our brains are too damn sexy for God to let them die. You know why, Bendis? Because we are just too damn pretty. Anyway, listen, that is the Clary Podcast. I'm gonna be heading out on Highway 10 with stops in Mobile, Houston, San Antonio, Fort Stockton, Tucson. If you're along that path, let the old captain know. We might have meetups, like I said, over in San Antonio and Houston. God, Houston looks like a big town. I didn't realize how big that town was. I looked at the map like, holy shit, that thing's huge. I may want to drive through it at night. Not have to deal with traffic. But let the old captain know if you're around. Send the old captain an email. Anyway, that's all we got. You guys have a good week, and you probably won't hear from me until I'm in Vegas. Toodles.